way that that overtime unfolded. You were standing right behind the goal when it happened. This place absolutely erupted.
Well, this place, Sam, has been unbelievable.
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog Podcast, the less than 60 days until the season edition. I'm Joe Bono alongside Brittany Sider. Be sure to follow our new Twitter account at Isles Blog and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. Our guest today is the pre- and post-game show host for the Islanders on MSG Networks, entering her second season with the team after a fun-filled first, and that's Shannon Hogan. Shannon, thanks for joining us. How's the summer been treating you?
Hi, guys. Probably like you, I've got the calendar going. I'm crossing the days out, waiting until we can have the first game at Barclays and hockey is back. The summer's been great, but I'm ready. I've had my fun in the sun, and I'm ready for the ice now.
Counting down the days as well. Is it October yet? And you can follow Shannon on Twitter at Shannon_Hogan. So, Shannon, for Islander fans that don't know, you made the decision before last year to leave Detroit, where you had covered the Red Wings, the Tigers, the Pistons for FSN. Now, you went to high school just outside the city of Detroit, so in some ways, this was like you leaving home. How was it in year one in New York and on Long Island? What met your expectations? What surprised you about your first season with the Islanders and in New York City?
Well, you're right when you said it was kind of a homecoming when I went from California about 5 years ago. My parents are still in Michigan, about 20 minutes from Ann Arbor, 20 minutes from downtown Detroit. So that was kind of the sports atmosphere that I was familiar with, the teams that I, you know, grew up watching and was excited about. And it's so funny because when I went back to Detroit after the end of the season, went to my first Tigers game, talking to the ushers and the players and, you know, Brad Ausmus and everybody's like, how was it? How was it? Everybody wanted to like size up how New York was. And I cannot say enough wonderful things about the experience I had last year. Last year at the Coliseum was so special. I felt like I was so lucky to be a part of the tradition that the fans, you know, had for decades there in that building. And, you know, I could see you guys a couple times a week coming down to the set where we have our pregames and our postgame shows. And that was fun. And really, I think what I wasn't 100% expecting and was really thrilled about was the commitment and the dedication that the fans have to the franchise and to the team and how welcoming they are. You know, I didn't grow up an Islanders fan. I was well aware of the history and, you know, the respect that the franchise has had for years and years. But everybody welcomed me with open arms, both at MSG, the Islanders, the players, management, Jack Capuano, and the fans. And it made the whole experience, I'm telling you, it was one of the best years of my entire life.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we're just so happy to hear that. We were so happy that you came on. So it's just it's a match made in heaven, I guess.
Yay! It was so much fun. You know, it was really fun because Islanders fans get it. Like, they understand the passion of the sport. They show up to games, and they're educated. You know, they're invested in the players. They know what's going on the ice. And I think that's also something that is a characteristic that the sport of hockey brings, that some other sports might be a little more casual. But people that are tuning in and watching Islanders games on MSG and any other hockey game, they're dedicated. They know what's going on. They know the lines. They know what's happening. And it makes it fun to cover and fun to interact with the fans.
Yeah, and speaking of being passionate and knowledgeable about your sport or your team, I know that you went to University of Missouri and you're super into being a Mizzou alum. You could tell just from your Twitter page. And I know that a lot of fans probably don't know this, but you are a star swimmer at University of Missouri, and you were really into the 500 and 100 meter freestyle. So you're an academic All-American. And so how big were your swimming aspirations?
Oh, my gosh. I love the – first of all, Brittany, thank you for tooting my horn right there, because I've been retired, quote-unquote retired from swimming for a very long time, but it feels like that now. But it's really funny. The same year that I started swimming when I was 8 years old in Madison, Connecticut at the YMCA was the same year that I told my parents that I wanted to be that lady on TV that got to interview the players. And – I pretty much knew at eight, like I knew I wanted to swim. I knew I wanted to be a sports broadcaster, and that kind of carried me through. And, you know, it's funny too, because so much a part of my identity until I was 22 years old and done swimming was, oh, this is my friend Shannon. She she's a swimmer, you know, she swims at Mizzou or she swims in high school. And then it kind of like immediately switched to, oh, that's my friend Shannon, she's a sportscaster, you know? But no, I was really, really lucky. I was recruited out of high school. I had the great privilege of actually training. If you're a swimming fan, with Carolyn Joyce, who has been in the last three Olympics. She was my training partner in high school up at the University of Michigan with Club Wolverine and Ann Arbor Swim Club. And then actually swam my first year at University of Virginia. I was only there for a year, but it was great. We won ACCs that year. And then I really figured out that the journalism school and program I needed was at Missouri. So I transferred to Mizzou, and Brian Hoffer, the head coach there, and the whole team there, they were so welcoming, and I came in. And back then it was the Big 12. For all you youngsters out there, you're thinking SEC, and I'm proud to be SEC now, but we were the Big 12, and it was fun. You know, we swam against Texas and Texas A&M, and Kansas was our big rival, and I was really fortunate. We had, you know, three great years there. I was, like I said, I was all Big 12, so it was great. I was the captain my senior year. I loved it. And my junior year, I went to nationals, which every 4 years is Olympic trials. So that was like a bucket list item. I got to go and experience it. And Michael Phelps was warming up two lanes over, and he is just as tall and gangly as he looks on television, but very friendly, in case you're wondering. So yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. It was a big part of who I was. And I'm grateful for that experience because I know how hard athletes work and how much of their life they dedicate to that. And it's even a notch higher at the professional level when you're getting paid for it, you know? These guys pour their hearts and souls into the team and out on the ice for their teammates and for the franchise and for you guys, and I respect that a whole lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, being such an avid swimmer and all that, we are wondering, have you had the opportunity to speak with the niece of our new owner, Katie Ledecky, yet or no?
Oh, my gosh, no. That's bucket list. I did meet John, who I will tell you guys, you know, as the transition goes on, I don't know how visible he's been, but he is almost at every game. I see him all the time. The first time I ran into him, we were in the aisles, like, you know, the aisles team store. He was buying jerseys for everybody. He was like, it was right before Christmas. He was so excited. I was super excited to meet him. And I was like, I feel really weird being like this, but I was a swimmer and I cannot wait. I hope she comes to a game soon because watching her swim is like so fantastic. And if you've been a swimmer, you understand just how amazing she is. And I know, I'm not sure if she's still training down in, you know, down south or if she's out in Colorado at the Olympic training facility, but fingers crossed at some point this season, we will meet her. And if she comes, you know, who knows, interview, maybe not. I don't know. I can't promise anything, but if it was my choice, I would want to talk to her about something. That's for sure.
Joe Bono and Brittany Sider chatting with Shannon Hogan on the Isles blog podcast. So Shannon, who are some of the broadcasters, male or female, that you admired growing up that made you want to get into the business? I read that you told your parents that you wanted to be Katie Couric, and you actually spent a lot of time doing news prior to actually making the transition into sports.
Yes, actually, Katie Couric, when I was a child, was probably the first person I saw. And you know, she was on the Today Show growing up. My mom always watched the Today Show. So I kind of liked the way she was. It was serious but fun. She was credible. Robin Roberts is another woman who has done both news and sports and, you know, was really a pioneer for women. And then the older I've gotten in my career, I've been very, very blessed to have other women who were a step or two ahead of me in the industry. Here in New York, people are probably familiar with Sam Ryan, who's with MLB Network. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, had been with ESPN and CBS. I met her along the way, you know, doing World Series coverage when I was at the Tigers, and we connected. And Jennifer Hammond was a big supporter of mine and my mentor who lived in Detroit. She covers the Lions for Fox in Detroit. And I really think it kind of becomes a little bit of, you know, they have the old boys club. It's kind of like a women's sorority when you're in sports, because there weren't that many, but now there are more and more. And it's so great to have us, you know, a support system like that to kind of keep learning and growing and supporting each other. Because like any industry, you know, there are some ups and downs and also some quirks. Schedule is different. There's stuff going on. But the doors are continuing to open for women in sports. So it's been really, really great. And when I was at Fox Sports Detroit, John Keating, was one of the main hosts there. And if you're ever in Detroit, or you're ever, you have a great cable package and you can watch Fox Sports Detroit, tune in, fans. Watch a Red Wings game, watch a Tigers game, and listen to John Keating. You are guaranteed at least one Kardashian reference and something else that will make you laugh. But he's so funny and sharp, and his writing is fantastic. And so I felt really lucky that early on in my career, I could watch him and be next to him, because I try to bring some, I'm not funny, but I think I am sometimes. So, like, I try to bring that light atmosphere, because you know what? It's sports. Like, at the end of the day, this is entertainment. We're lucky to have these teams, and it should be a good part of your day.
Yeah, so, I mean, you talked a lot about how there are women who are, you know, above you, especially in New York, that, like, it's always something to strive for, and it seems to be a little bit more of, like, a sorority in a way, where it used to be, like, a boys' club. Do you think that there are any instances where you still feel like you have to validate yourself as a woman, or has it really completely changed?
You know what? I don't think you can look at it as completely changed or as a validation process. From day one in the industry, I tried not to look at myself as, I'm a female sports reporter, sports anchor, news reporter, news anchor. I try to look at myself as, I'm a professional journalist. I'm a professional host or reporter. And I went in and did my job. You know, are there hurdles along the way? Yeah, sometimes there are. I mean, I still laugh when I was my first year in Detroit. I tell this story all the time. So Jim Leland at the time was the manager for the Tigers. Very old school. Mike Babcock was there for the Red Wings. Pretty strict. If you know Babs, you know kind of how he runs his, you know, dressing room and the news stuff. And it took them a year to realize that I'm here, I'm prepared, this is what I'm going to ask, this is what we're going to talk about. And Jim Leland always jokes, like, halfway through, he was like, you know, I wasn't sure if you were going to make it, kid, but, like, you got it going on. We're good. And he's still one of my friends. You know, I still call and check up with him, even though he's no longer the manager for the Tigers. You know, when Mike Babcock, when we'd go back with the Islanders to play the Red Wings, he would say hello. But I think it's more of a, it's not so much of a man-woman thing or a male-female thing as a credible journalist thing, and trying to build that. And that takes time, and I understand that does take time. Even the fans with the Islanders, you know, you might have turned on the TV the first day and been like, who is this? You don't even know who this person is. But I'm hoping after the end of the season, you were like, oh, we get it. You know, she's glad she's here. She knows the team. She's getting to know the guys. She's giving us good information, and we're on board.
Right.
Shannon, take us through what game day is like for you as a pre- and post-game show host for the Islanders. Let's say they're playing at home, last season at the Coliseum, this year at Barclays Center, 7 p.m., 7:30, face-off. At what point does your day start, and kind of what is the preparations you're doing as the pre- and post-game host for that broadcast?
It starts pretty early, 7:30 alarm, and then I will lay in my bed and I will read everything I can on either on NHL.com or on MSG or on, you know, Newsday, and just kind of check and see if I've missed anything. Twitter. I see everything you guys write on Isles Blog. You know what's going on. What's everybody talking about? About a half hour later, I roll out of bed and I try to do something, whether I'm going to Soul Cycle or I'm going to run for a little bit if there's not 4 feet of snow on the ground, and just to kind of get my mind clear. And then I'm there for morning skate. In the morning and talking to players. You know, it's not just me that's doing stuff. I mean, it takes, like, so much work for a broadcast. So, you know, we have assistant directors and directors and producers and photographers showing up around the same time that I'm showing up, you know, in the morning to go to skate. And we've already talked about a rundown. You know, our producer has said, this is what we're thinking we're going to do today, Shannon. You know, what do you think? We've kind of gone through that. We're going to ask players the questions that we need. Some of the, you know, interviews might be if we had a game the night before. We're going to run some sound just in case, you know, maybe you had an early meeting and you had to go to bed early and you wanted to know what the players said in postgame. We're going to roll some of that stuff in as well. So then we'll be there for skate. And I usually head back to my place and then sit down at my computer and feverishly write for a couple of hours. And then at some point I'll have a couple more cups of coffee and a sandwich and then get back to the Coliseum. You know, we have a meeting at the Coliseum. Usually I show up around 3:34, They joke. They're like, be here at 3:30. Sometimes I'm there at 3:45. If they tell me to be there at 4, I'm getting there early. So it's like, it usually ends up being 3:45. And so all of the highlights and stuff that we've put together or the interviews that we've done, the guys, we call it the guys in the truck. And the editors in the truck have done a fantastic job. Charlie does it for us, and he basically puts together, he's a producer and director and editor, puts it all together of where we're going to start and end each interview. So if we're going to ask guys a couple of questions, you know, they kind of piece it all together. It's more of just going over it again to make sure when I'm leading into sound, I'm not going to say, and Coach Jack Capuano was really excited about the way his team played last night. And it plays the video and it goes, I was really excited about how they played last night. You know, it was, that kind of sounds repetitive. So we just try to make sure everything flows, look at the highlight, talk about anything else. And then we have like an all broadcast meeting, which is the best part of the day. Why, you want to know? Stan Fischler tells a joke. And I will tell you, that man is remarkable. Like, the fact that I get to work with Stan Fischler on a day-in, day-out basis basically makes my life. As you know, he's a legend. He knows more about hockey. He's written more books. Like, on my nightstand, there are, like, 4 Stan Fischler books. I'm just scratching the surface. But he'll tell a joke, and we'll go over the entire broadcast. So Howie and Butch will be there. We'll talk about what they're going to talk about. You know, we're going to talk about the visiting team and any themes. If we've played that team several times, you know, let's say it's a really quick team or a team that's really strong on defense, what are we going to look out for? Butch is very open about, you know, telling the producers, like, hey, let's keep an eye out for this so we can clip off that video, and maybe the first whistle we're going to show them, this is what they did the last time. If it's a really physical team, they might zero in on that. So there's a lot of research that goes into even just getting to the meeting. And then it's just making sure we're all on the same page. And as the season goes on, you get more and more comfortable. You know, in the beginning of the year, you're trying to figure out, what are Howie and Butch going to talk about? What am I going to talk about so that we're not doing the same thing? And yet, is important that they want to talk about that I can bring up in intermission? So we're kind of continuing at the same theme. So we do that. I'm sorry if I'm being very long-winded. And then we get to the pregame show. I'm out of the set. People come by. We do a couple run-throughs. Of stuff in case they want to, like, look at highlights or they've changed anything. And then we're live, which is the best part because, like, you're just live. You just go, and it's an adrenaline like nothing else, like riding a roller coaster for 30 minutes. And at the end, I literally say, I can't breathe. Like, I'm just like, you're just so tired. But you don't have any time to be tired because the puck's dropped and you have a game. And then, you know, you see what happens for intermission. I basically run with my little high heels underneath the bleachers all the way over to the other side and, you know, do some intermission interviews, come back. I'm taking notes the whole time. I'm circling things. I have an earpiece in my ear, so if the producer, you know, wants to talk about something or I say, hey, let's pull that video for intermission, that's kind of what we do. You know, we're really lucky this year. We had Mike Bossy, Stan Fischler, and Rick DiPietro coming in for intermission. And then we had all the alumni coming back. So it was really exciting because we had lots of things and different, you know, different topics to talk to the fans about. And sometimes we'll have a fun little feature here and there. And then post game goes, I shuffle out onto the ice when they win. And I tell the camera guys, I'm like, please always keep the camera on me because it is only a matter of time before I'm just going to fight it. And then we need to have that on film because I just refuse to wear the flat shoes out there. So I'm like, you know, I'm just shuffling out there in my high heels. I'm actually better in high heels than skates on ice, so it might be safer. But, yes, we do post-game with the interview, and then we do post-game on our set. And then, like, 11 o'clock, I check back into the truck and see if they need anything else for tomorrow and head home and have a glass of wine. So it's a long day, but it's good.
Shannon Hogan, Islanders pre- and post-game show host for MSG Networks, is our guest. Joe Bono, Brittany Sider, Isles Blog Podcast. And, you know, watching, you know, the broadcast throughout the year, a couple times you did a lot of fun skits with the team. And one was about them trying to grow mustaches and things like that in Movember. So how open were they to kind of just kind of have fun? You know, it's a long season. It's a stressful season. It's intense to be a professional hockey player in the NHL. How open are they to do kind of these, like, fun, offbeat-type skits with you?
Those guys in the dressing room are so funny. And I think there was actually just an article posted on the Islanders official webpage about Cal Clutterbuck. And you see Cal on the ice and he's like super serious and he's, you know, talking smack from the bench. He's checking in people left and right. He is the funniest guy in that room. Like, I will just put it out there. Cal Clutterbuck is the funniest guy, and he's dry. So sometimes when we interview him, he's really, really, like, you know, like there's, like, no facial expression. But he'll drop. I think what I realized he was funny is when we were doing the skit. We're on the road. I don't even know where we were, but it was we had been on the road. We might have been in Minnesota. And we were talking about things you can't live without on the road. And Cal was like, well, I mean, I guess I need an extra pair of underwear. And I was like, You only brought two pairs of underwear. It was like a 12-day trip, you guys. And he was like, yeah, I just need two. And I'm thinking to myself, like, but he's deadpan. So you're like, oh, my God, he's so funny. So, guys, you know, Cal's in there. Kyle Loposo is always game to do stuff. Johnny Boychuk is very, very funny. And you know who else is funny and really serious and you don't always see it? Nick Leddy. And he comes off so serious. Yes. Very funny. Ryan Strome is funny. He thinks he's funny, too, but he is funny. The whole, like, dressing room has such a great personality, and that's something we're going to continue to try to show the fans and show you guys this year as we get to Brooklyn. You know, watch for things of, you know, how they're integrating in this community and how they're liking their new home, because you're, as a fan base, you should feel really lucky. Not only are they a good team with a great future, but they're really good guys. You know, Travis Hamonic, everybody knows his story for the most part of what he does giving back to kids during the home games. But that whole dressing room as a whole cares about the community. They're funny. They, you know, they like doing these funny things. But on the other end, there is a balance. You know, I'm very selective, and I work with Kimber, who, you know, is the head of PR with the Islanders that you guys probably know as well. You know, when's the right time to ask these questions? Because I realize that their time is valuable, and those answers you see are usually after a skate or an off day. So maybe we're asking it the day before, or it's an atmosphere in the dressing room that allows it, because I realize that their number one job is to go out there and win games. It's not to, you know, it's not to have fun, you know, joke around with me, although they're very good at that. So we really try to, with MSG, balance that and find the right time to ask the fun questions and the serious questions and still deliver great content.
Shannon, you mentioned this upcoming season and the move to Brooklyn. Now, anyone that was at the Coliseum and went down the escalator to meet you guys down by your set during home games knows that after the games, you know, fans were there, the cheering, the chanting during the interviews with the players and Butch, and it made for such a fantastic atmosphere in postgame. Any plans for something like that in Brooklyn, some other kind of similar set that fans could kind of congregate after games and kind of celebrate during the coaching show?
Joe, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to officially say anything, so I will deflect that question and just say that the atmosphere that was created at the Coliseum, I don't think will ever be duplicated. It was a special atmosphere, a special building. It was a great atmosphere. I think it'll be just as exciting at Brooklyn, just a different building, you know? Like, there's so many things to be excited about. If you've never been to Barclays Center, it is phenomenal. My parents had such a great time at the Coliseum. And, you know, they came from Joe Lutherina, so they were not used to all the bells and whistles. So the Coliseum felt like home to them. And they would come to the games, and they were here for the playoffs, and they loved it. And just recently, I got back into the country, and they met me in New York. And I brought them out to the Barclays Center, and we walked around. And my mom was like, it is so cool. It's not better. It's not. It's just different. You know, it's just a different atmosphere. It's a different kind of chapter. And I think it's going to be really exciting for the fans to come out and watch the games. And we're going to do everything we can to make it as enjoyable of an experience to watch the show at home and also to experience part of the show at the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, talking about how, you know, amazing it was at the Coliseum and how, you know, just talking about your first year working with the Islanders, I think one of our favorite moments as fans this past year was back in February during the Islanders-Rangers game. What seemed like it was going to be a pretty mundane interview turned into a woman named Joy Rosen talking about how her son was conceived, having to do with the Coliseum back in 1982 and 1983. So what are some other live TV moments like that that have happened in your career that stick out?
Oh, all you have to do is Google Chewbacca and you will find it. I have had the pleasure. Part of live television, you never know what's going to happen. I don't know when it was. It was Star Wars night when I was covering the Pistons. I think it was 3 years ago. And they're like, come on, we're going to interview Chewbacca, like, on a whistle. And I'm like, what? Like, time out. I've got however many seconds to do this quick interview. And it's like a man in a Chewbacca uniform, and he is giant. Like, he is the most giant man ever, and he's hairy, and I'm in it. My face is, like, just the whole, like, thing was so funny. That's a bucket list. Interviewing Chewbacca was right up there. And the next year, luckily, they just thought it was really funny that I was, like, playing along with Chewbacca and asking these questions, and he was making those, you know, noises into the microphone. So I did R2-D2 the next year. So we've done that. You know, every now and then, people like to just get your, especially in baseball, where you're out in the middle of, you know, the seats. People like to do dance parties behind you. I don't mind. I just like to know when they're there, you know? And, like, half the time I've got my earpiece in, so I'm doing my interview, and I just don't realize, like, somebody's roboting hard right behind me. Like, it's just happening. But, no, I've been really, really lucky. Like, I'm trying to think, you know, in baseball you have, like, I think maybe 3 seasons ago, Johnny Peralta had a walk-off. And just, like, the Gatorade shower, just, I was not even prepared. I mean, as a reporter, you're prepared, but you're not prepared for how cold it's going to be. And then I think one of the more memorable kind of, like, fun moments that happened, actually was two. So my last season in Detroit, my last game reporting, Alex Avila hit a walk-off. And so it's my last game reporting, America, the water's coming, my face. Oh, my gosh, just like the still photography. They had it on the front page of the sports section the next day. It was so, so funny. I mean, those are fun things, but you never know what's going to happen. And as much as you, you know, pre-interview people or tell, you know, talk to people, you never know what they're going to say. And, you know, she was a passionate fan, that Joy Rosen. She was a passionate fan.
Yes, she was very passionate, both in the parking lot and in that interview, I guess that would be the way to say it. You know, Shannon, you obviously both with your jobs in Detroit and here in New York, you've been able to see really both conferences, both the Eastern and Western Conference. What's your favorite cities? What's your favorite arenas to be at the NHL or even the other sports?
You know what? That people have asked me that this year. I think part of this season for me, doing a full season in the NHL, was getting comfortable with where I was. I mean, most of the time I'm down ice level. So I have to find out where our studio is and how am I going to get to the ice and the dressing room and then how am I getting out to the truck. But I don't really feel like I got the best feel of all the other arenas. There was definitely something very special about the Coliseum. The Staples Center is also cool. And I think part of it is that it's like giant. It's like fancy schmancy. It's in LA. And I think to myself, how remarkable that they have like so many different teams playing here. Like the effort that goes into preparing that arena for each sporting event blows my mind. I will also say going to a game in Montreal for the first time was really special. Just like hockey in Canada is huge. I don't even remember if we were there on a Saturday or a Sunday night or what it was, but just the combination of the crowd and like their pregame ceremony. And also when you're down ice level and the experience I get, which I feel very fortunate for, you have all the different media. And the media in New York is a lot and it's crazy. If you've been to, you know, a Mets game or a Yankees game or a Rangers, Islanders, you get it. There are people everywhere. It's unbelievable. They do a fantastic job in the city covering sports. But in Canada, there's so many different outlets. And then you throw in Montreal and you've got French and Canadian. And you're like, you just stand there like a fly in the wall for a couple of minutes and just watch everybody running around, speaking French, speaking English, talking about players, this and that. And even like the people working in the hallways, you know, that are either security or whatever. It's so funny because in certain parts, some are watching the game in French and some are watching the game in English. And it's just very interesting to me, that whole process. So I think that's really fun. I think when you ask the players, you usually get a positive response about going to games or watching games, playing games in Montreal as well. I love Nashville. I had never been to the city of Nashville before this season. And if you're an Islanders fan and you're looking for an away game to go to, I would absolutely recommend Nashville, because the you don't need to rent a car. Like, just get from the airport to the hotel. The hotel is right next to Honky Tonk Row, where all the action is there, and it's right next to the arena. So it's a very convenient place for fans to go and watch the team play on the road, and they also have a beautiful arena. And you never know if you're going to see Carrie Underwood. I'm just going to throw that out there. If you're a country fan, you don't know. Carrie might show up. She might be there.
You know, I think they're actually playing the Islanders like on the Thursday of like March Madness this
it's
year.
My birthday.
That could be a lot. Yeah,
it's
and
my birthday.
Okay. And
it's
yeah, birthday.
It's my,
there
I'm
you
so
go.
Excited this year. I already told all my friends. I'm like, come on, we're going. Everybody need me in Nashville.
So we're all going to Shannon's birthday in Nashville.
Come
we
to my birthday party.
The,
my birthday party usually involves a sporting event and a sporting event. Like, it's great. It's always fun. It was the same thing when I was younger. Our championship swim meet was always on my birthday. And I'm pretty sure for like a good 12 years, I never had birthday cake. Like, I just did not birthday cake on my birthday because we were in some, you know, hotel in the middle of like Nebraska for some swim meet or Texas or wherever we were. So, yeah, but Nashville's a great stop too.
And Jen, our last question, talk Islanders, quiet off season. Especially if you kind of compare it to kind of the Letty and Boychuk trades and the free agent acquisitions of Grabowski and Kuhlman ahead of last season. So quiet off season, Garth Snow really counting on this young core to grow up together and get better and finally get past the first round of the playoffs. Just your thoughts on the Islanders and their outlook for the upcoming year with less than 60 days before opening night.
Well, first of all, you never know what can happen, as we saw with Letty and Boychuk late in you know, the last offseason. However, everything I've read and everything I've heard from the organization and the players is that they were really, really happy with the core group of guys that they had last year, which is evident in them signing so many guys to, you know, several-year contracts. If you look at the roster right now, it looks very, you know, similar to last year. But you're going to have guys like Anders Lee and Ryan Strome and Brock Nelson that have another year under their belt. And they, you know, they're doing the work in the off season that they need to do. There was just an article posted about Ryan Strome, and you know, so much last year there, especially towards the postseason, you were hearing about, you know, him and John Tavares and their relationship. And Ryan is like a sponge; he is trying to learn as much as he can, and he's doing it from a great guy too. So you know, he went home and really tried to shadow what John has, you know, formulated for his off-season plan. I know the guys have been working hard. You know, I know there have been a few that have stayed in the area. Matt Martin and Anders Lee, I'm pretty sure, stayed on Long Island and have been doing a lot of, you know, work and training in the off-season, both on the ice and off the ice. But I think they've, you know, they set a good pace at points last season. There were some rough patches. They got into the playoffs. They showed a lot of grit in that 7-game series, but we're in no way satisfied with just making the playoffs. I don't think they're sitting around dwelling about that series. I think they're thinking about all the things they can do better for this upcoming season to get to the ultimate goal, which is winning the Cup, which, of course, everybody would be thrilled about.
Well, Shannon, we really appreciate you spending some time with us here. Very generous with your time. We're looking forward to seeing you in Brooklyn, even though I imagine it's going to be a really cool setup, even though you didn't give away any details. And we look forward to your birthday party in Nashville in March, too. So.
It'll be great, and I will see you guys way before that. And I will say, for all the fans out there, if you're listening and, you know, following on Twitter or following the Isles blog, watching MSG, please come over, say hello, say hi. Stan and I will be there, you know, for pre-games and post-games. If it's during hockey action, we're usually pretty dialed in. But if the puck is not on the ice, we're more than happy to say hello.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter @IslesBlog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.